This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My name is Fahim Khan. On behalf of RCI Azra, I welcome you all, my dear brother and sister in Islam. Today, I would like to introduce to you our Sheikh Abdul Bari Yahya, who will be our guest for the coming week and inshallah for the future seminars. Sheikh Abdul Bari is one of the Al-Maghrib's dedicated and wise shuyukh. He specialized in and after that he returned to Vietnam and Cambodia and became a teacher there. And he's also the director of Al-Qura charity organization in Vietnam. He's currently the Imam of the Masjid Jamal Muslimin in Seattle. He also holds the position of President of Chan Refugee Community and Vice President of Islamic Center of Washington State. Inshallah, I will pass you on to the Sheikh, and I hope every one of you leaves today with at least one new piece of knowledge, and may Allah bless you all with good health and hire your Imam.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by a grave. Passed by actually two graves. And he said, these two are being punished. But they are not being punished for anything that they perceived as being major. But nay, it is very big, or it is very great, or it is something that is major. As for one of them, he used to not protect himself from the splatter of urine. And as for the second person, he used to go around spreading mischief or slander or causing problems amongst the people. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then took a branch with leaves, and he said, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lighten the punishment of these two until these leaves become dry. And so, from this hadith, there are two major sins that people don't think that they are considered major. And thus brings us to the topic of the tongue. And it's something that is very easy for us to always use, but we don't realize the danger of it. We don't realize the danger of the tongue. And thus, if we use it incorrectly, it is a major sin. And in fact, the majority of the people who enter the hellfire, it is a result of the tongue. It is a result of what the tongue does. And so that's why this is something that is very, very important. That's why this particular topic is of the utmost importance. Why? Because it's a dangerous, at the same time it's something that's very beneficial. It's like a double, it's like a sword or a knife. You use it and it could be very, very beneficial. But at the same time it could be very harmful. It's harmful also. Why? Because when a person wants to harm somebody, your hands, your feet, your limbs can only harm people from a certain distance. But when it comes to the tongue, you can harm people no matter where they are. No matter how, whether they're close to you or far away from you, even if they are across the globe, you can still harm that person. So that's why it's very dangerous, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember, will hold us accountable for every single thing. Every word that we say, every utterance that comes out of our mouth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيمٌ. There's not a single utterance that comes from the mouth except that there is رَقِيبٌ عَتِيمٌ. رَقِيب, the angels that are there writing down every single thing. Everything that we say. And that's why Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, when he was in his last few days, and when he was on the deathbed, he was moaning because of the pain. Because of the pain that he was feeling. And then all of a sudden he stopped. And there was not a single word that came from his mouth, and not a single sound that was coming from his mouth. And so his son looked over towards him, his son Abdullah, said, "Father, did the pain subside?" And so he said, "No, it did not subside. But I was thinking about hadith, or I was thinking about the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيمٌ. There's not a single utterance except that it is being recorded, رَقِيبٌ عَتِيمٌ, carefully recorded by the angels. And so he stopped just making those sounds, because he didn't want these sounds to be recorded. And so this shows us some of the scholars of before, of how careful they were with what they said. And Al-Fudayl ibn Ayyad, do you guys know who Al-Fudayl ibn Ayyad was? His nickname was Abid al-Haramayn. Abid al-Haramayn. Worshipper of al-Haramayn. Meaning Mecca and Medina, the two most holy sites in Islam. He was so, because of his piety and righteousness, he was known as the worshipper of Mecca and Medina. And, you know, his story, of course, he wasn't very good. He was actually a highway robber. But he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he changed his ways. And he was known for, until he was known for his righteousness and piety, so much so that he became Abid al-Haramayn. And one day he said, "I know someone who knows, and he counts the words that he speaks on any given week." Subhanallah. If you were to ask him, "How many words did you speak this week?" he would know. Because he's so careful. Because he's afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold him accountable for all those things. So any words that comes out, he thinks about it first. And that's what. And who is this person, by the way? Al-Fudayl ibn Ayyad. It's no other than himself. He didn't want to show up. He just says, "I know someone." And so all the scholars said, when he said that, everybody knew it was him. It was no other than he. Why? Because he was known for his righteousness and piety. And so, the utterance of the tongue. The tongue it expresses that which is in the heart. It expresses that which is in the heart. If the heart is good, then whatever is being uttered is also good. So when you see somebody who's foul mouth, someone who is always using foul language, that's also an indication actually what's in his tongue. And that's why if you want to get married, you know, there's a couple of topics, you know. I mean, anyone who's like really, really tired, or you don't want to hear, you know, you're tired about a talk or something like that, you can always wake people up when you speak about marriage, right? There are two, marriage and jinn, not jinn stories. Everybody loves those stories. I was actually thinking about maybe we should have a topic about jinn marriage, man. That would be right? It'll wake everybody up, right? And so, the tongue is the expressor of what's in the heart. That's why if a person wants to get married, you want to get married, don't just look at his prayers or maybe his worship, but also see how he speaks. What kind of language does that person use? Because that's the expression of what's in the heart. And so if you want to marry somebody with a good heart, then, because that's what you're looking for. You know, you want someone with a good heart. Someone, you know, outer appearance, you know, they come and go, right? But when it comes to the heart and character, that's what remains with you. And that's why I say you have to look at that person's speech. Also watch how they talk to other people, specifically how they speak to their parents. And so you might say, well, why? Well, the reason is because if that person is a good son or daughter and they know how to respect their parents, then they're more likely to respect you. And if they don't respect their parents, then most likely they're not going to show respect to you also. If they don't respect their parents, you think they're going to show respect to you? Later on, when you know, of course, you know, maybe the first few, maybe the first year or so forth, might be everything going smooth, like, you know, the first year, right, the wife speaks, the husband will listen, right? Second year, the husband will probably speak and the wife will have to listen, you know. Or the third year, both of them speak and the neighbors are the ones that hear, right? Listen. So, if you want to get married, I want you to look at the person's speech also. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لَا يَسْتَقِيمُ إِيمَانُ عَبْدٍ. A person's belief will not be firm until his heart is firm. Until his heart is firm. And if his heart is not firm, or until his heart is upright, until his tongue is upright. And his tongue cannot be upright until his heart is also up. Until his heart is upright. And so that's why the belief, the iman, it comes, it's in the heart, but it shows in the words that a person says. And as a result of that also, it shows in the actions of that particular person. And so, as by default, as Muslims, we are ordered not to just be silent, okay? It's not sunnah just to always be quiet. Most people think, okay, I'm not going to say anything, sunnah just to be quiet. No, it's not sunnah to be quiet. It's also not sunnah to always talk. What's the correct way? The correct path is the middle path. Islam is always the middle path, and it's always the most balanced of religion. And that's why when you hold on to the Qur'an and Sunnah, it doesn't matter how extremely you hold on to the Qur'an and Sunnah, the more extreme you hold on to the Qur'an and Sunnah, the more balanced you become. Why? Because the most balanced of all religions is Islam. So the more you hold on to Islam, the more balanced you become. And so, it's not just Sunnah just to be quiet. And it's not Sunnah just to say whatever you want to say and talk about whatever you want to talk about. But a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who has faith, will speak when it is beneficial. Will speak when it is beneficial. And if it's not beneficial, then you don't say it. In other words, there's a category. In speech, you have that which is beneficial, that which is called mubah. Mubah are just, you know, they're not haram, it's not halal. I mean, it's halal, but it's not haram. It's just, you're not going to be rewarded for saying any of these things. There's a type that you're going to be rewarded for, words and phrases and things that you say that you'll be rewarded for. And then there's a middle, which is in between. And of course, there's that which is sinful. Now those who are true believers, those who watch what they say, even the middle category, they avoid it. And that's because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Whosoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment, let him or her be quiet, or let him or her say that which is good, or be quiet. Because it's easy. It is very easy to say something if you have not said it yet, and you need to say it. But that which has already come out already, you can't take back. That which has come out, the slip of the tongue, you can't pull it back. Once you've already said it, you pretty much, it's difficult, you can't pull it back. Now you're going to have to try to make it up by apologizing or things like that. And that's why, but if you haven't said certain things yet, you can always make it up, inshallah. And so that's why, if you don't have anything good to say, then be quiet. And thus we mentioned that if the default is that you shouldn't say anything except that which is beneficial. And at the same time, we also mentioned that one of the biggest reasons for a person entering the hellfire is because he does not take care of his tongue. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked by a companion who said, "Dullani ala amalin yudkhilani jannah," show me a deed that will enter me paradise. You know, if you want to enter paradise, I want you to look for a hadith that said that the companions are asking, show me a deed that will enter me paradise. Or the Prophet ﷺ tells you a deed, and he says, this deed will inshallah enter me paradise. When you hear any of those deeds, or any of those hadith, I want you to memorize them. I want you to write them down. I want you to make sure you try to apply every single day, as much as you can, and collect those hadith to remind you so that you know what your plan and how to get the Jannah is. Because just, you know, if you want to do something, if you want to be successful in business or anything, we always plan, right? And after you plan, you put it to action. But when it comes to Jannah, which is the most important, the life of the hereafter, and the eternal life, we don't plan for it. We just live as if, haphazardly. And so, he said, what deeds can I do? Show me something that I can do that will enter me Jannah. And so he said, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا. He said, watch and take care, be mindful of this. Be mindful of your tongue. And hold back your tongue. And then he pointed at his tongue, and he said, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكْ. He said, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكْ. May your mother lose you. And then this is like saying of great importance. You know, it's not like he's not making dua, may you die and your mother lose you. No, it's not like something that's literal. Like in English, we have a lot of phrases that we don't really mean, but it's just for emphasis, that we say things for emphasis. So this is for emphasis, meaning may your mother lose you. I mean, may your mother lose you. Right away, when you hear something like that, you're getting your attention. Now, I'm just saying this, okay? Just to show the importance. It's like I'm talking about death here, life and death. Like I'm talking about life and death situation. It's not something that's small. So when you hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Thank you, let go, muk," that's a life and death situation here. Listen carefully. And we're not talking about breakfast or dinner or lunch here, or what to choose, what to have for breakfast, whether they're going to drink coffee or tea. No, this is not. Thank you, let go, muk. May your mother lose you. I mean, this is a life or death situation. So listen up carefully. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then, "Thank you, let go, muk. Hal yakubbu an-nasu ala manakhirihim." He said, may your mother lose you. Listen up, this is a life and death situation here. And he said, are people dragged into the hellfire by their faces, by their noses, dragging their noses on the ground, and thrown into the hellfire except for what their tongues, except for the result of their the sins that are caused by the tongue? And so that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized this point very, 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 very firmly because of the importance of it. And so sometimes, sometimes it's good to speak. Sometimes it's not always good to be quiet. And those are the times when you know that it is beneficial, or when you have to say certain things to correct things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if you see something wrong, for example, you should speak about it, you should say it, you should mention it to them, you should remind the other person in the best possible way. You know, you do it the best possible way because you do not want to get the sin of having somebody doing something in front of you, because it's mandatory upon us if we're able to. Okay, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ra'a minkum munkara, whosoever amongst you sees a munkar, sees something bad, falyughayyirhu بيدي. Then let him change with his hands. Meaning, if you're able to physically change something with your hands, meaning your physics can stop it, then you do so. And of course, this is with your children, with the people who you have authority over, or if you're the, you know, if you're somebody of authority and you can do it by force, then and you have the authority to do so, then you do so. But there's some things that we don't have the authority. Maybe with our children, maybe they want to go somewhere and they're about to leave, we can pull them back. That's with our hands. We prevent them from doing that which is not good. And we can physically prevent them from doing that. But when it comes to other people's children or other people, then we're not able to do that. But we might be able to say something so that they was, it would stop them. So then you go to the next level of changing that which is wrong, or changing a wrong, and that's with the tongue. And so if you see such a thing, then you should change. You should try to remind other people. But sometimes, you know, the shaitan is very, 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 very deceptive, and he's very smart. And so he might say to you, but you yourself sometimes do that. Right? You yourself, you do that sometimes also. Well, who made you the police, right? Or why should you stop him? You should change also. So in this case, what do you do? Do you stop him and remind him also? Because you might be doing that also. Or you might fall into that that which he's fallen into also. So do you say, oh no, since I don't. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Oh, you believe. Why do you do that which is? Why do you say that which you don't do? كَبُرَ مَقْتَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَا تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It's, you know, it's a great thing inside of Allah. Something that's big inside of Allah that you say, that you do that which you say, that which you do not do. So now, how can you prevent somebody when you yourself also do that also? So should you or not? You should. You should still tell them. Why? Because it's an obligation upon you, right? It's an obligation upon you to prevent a munkar. So if you don't prevent a munkar, then you have not fulfilled an obligation. So that's a wrong. And you are also doing that wrong is also a wrong. But you don't want two wrongs now. You've already got one wrong upon yourself. So you prevent the other person, but make that also as a reminder for you, so that maybe you were reminded, hey, you know, you prevented the other person, why are you going to do that? I'm going to stop myself. Stop for Allah. You repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, you know, I'm going to stop that person also. And it's a reminder for you also. Because sometimes, when you let that person do it, do whatever is wrong, and you also fall into that category, and you don't say anything, what ends up happening? It ends up like, hey, you know what? Everyone else is doing it. Let me just continue it. Right? Everyone else is doing it. So you never make the conviction to turn around. You never make that U-turn. So there are certain times in which you have to speak out. Even if you yourself are, you know, you yourself have fallen into that hole also. So don't be tricked. If you've been tricked by the shaitan once, don't be tricked by him twice. And so these are little subtle things. The shaitan tricks us concerning many matters, and this is one of them. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned the gravity of just the word. You know, sometimes a person says something that they don't even feel the importance of, or you know, that it is severe. But sometimes it's very severe. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ رَجُلْ لَيَتَكَلَمْ بِالْكَلِمَةِ. A person will sometimes say a phrase or say a word, مَا يَتَبَيْنَ فِيهَا. He doesn't even, it's not clear to him, he doesn't know, or he doesn't realize. يَزِلُّ بِهَا فِي النَّارِ أَبْعَدُ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. He will be tossed into the hellfire, or be thrown into hellfire, the distance that's further than the east and the west. That means very deeply, deep down into the hellfire. So in another narration, سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا, the distance of 70 years. The distance of 70 years into the hellfire. That's like dropping a rock, right? And it keeps falling for 70 years. How much distance? I think you guys can even figure that out. Right? With math, you'll see how far a person will fall. Technically, you can actually do that. But in the Arabic language, when the word 70 is used, or when the number 70 or the number 100 is used, the majority of the time, it means it's a very, very long amount of time or a lot. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ by he whose hand is my soul. إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ سَبْعِينَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. Indeed, I repent to Allah. I ask forgiveness. And I repent to Him in a day more than 70 times. Does that mean, okay, I'm going to go more than 70 times? Or another narration, 100 times. Oh, I already got my 100, so I'm going to stop. No. I mean, you should do it always. You should continually do it. And so, in other words, if a person, sometimes he says a word, he doesn't realize the gravity, the magnitude of this word, or this particular phrase, and he will be thrown into the hellfire. Deep, deep into the hellfire, the distance of 70 years. And so, a person, that's what the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الرَّجُّ لَيَتَكَلَ بِالْكَلِمَةِ لَا يَرَى بِهَا بَأْسًا. He said a person will say a word or a phrase, and he doesn't even think there's anything wrong with it. يَهْوِي بِهَا سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفَةٍ نَارٍ. He will be thrown in for 70 years, or not for 70, the distance. We're talking about here the distance of 70 years down into the hellfire. And so this is just for one word. This is for one word, or one thing. And sometimes a person doesn't realize, he's just trying to make people laugh. You're just trying to make people laugh, and you say certain things. But if it is a mockery, making a mockery of Islam, believe it or not, that can take a person outside the state of Islam. Because making a mockery of Islam, or any of the rituals of Islam, making fun of any part of the Qur'an, or that which has the teachings of the Qur'an, that is one of the actions or the things that would take a person outside the state of Islam. It would take a person outside the state of Islam. And so if somebody, that's why I'm going to give you an example. This is in the Hanafi scholars. They said, if a person drinks alcohol, right, drinks alcohol, he's a sinner. It's a major sin. If a person drinks alcohol and says Bismillah, he's a kafir. He's a non-Muslim. You take alcohol, you drink, and you say Bismillah, you're a kafir. Non-Muslim. Why? Because you're making a mockery of Bismillah. You're committing a sin. You're committing a major sin and you're saying Bismillah. It's like saying, Ya Allah, I'm doing it for your sake. A'udhu billah, Allah is preventing you from doing that. And you're saying you're doing it for Allah's sake? That's these little things. Sometimes, somebody might say some of these things just to make somebody laugh. That person is outside the state of Islam. And so, there are some words, there are some things that people say, they don't realize the magnitude of it. And that's why you have a lot of, some comedians that come up, or Muslim comedians, right? They'll say certain things that might take them outside the state of Islam. Just trying to make people laugh. But you also have to differentiate, okay? You have to differentiate. Not everyone who says something that's related to the Qur'an and Sunnah, or that it will take that person outside the state of Islam. You have to differentiate. Let's say if somebody makes fun of the beard. If that somebody makes fun of the beard as it is the beard because it is the Sunnah, then that takes a person outside the state of Islam. If they're making fun of the beard on that particular person, so they're not making fun of Islam, or a ritual of Islam, but they're making fun of that person, saying that person is ugly with a beard or something like that, and they're making fun of him. That of course, that's something that's, that's something that's not appropriate and not permissible in Islam, to make fun of another person, but it's not something that takes a person outside the state of Islam. So you really have to differentiate that also. Because some people, you're making fun of, I have the beard. No, I'm not making fun of Islam. I'm making fun of you. Right? That's also wrong, but it doesn't bring that person to the level where that person's outside the state of Islam. And so that's what the great scholars of the past, they were very, very careful in the choice of words and that which they say, whether it is, they're so afraid of harming people. And one of the most careful in terms of the person of in terms of speech amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was who? It was, Uthman ibn Affan? Yeah. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described him as the most shy of this ummah. The most shy. I want you to think about this carefully, because every time we speak about shyness, who do we think of? We think about men. I mean, think about women, right? When you speak about shyness, we're always, the first thing that comes to your mind is women, Right? But you know what? The most shy person in this ummah is not a woman. It's a man. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And so what does shyness mean? What does shyness mean? Listen to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did when he saw Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. He was with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar. And they were sitting down, reclining. And you know when you're with friends, you're usually more relaxed, right? You're usually more relaxed. And when you see somebody, like let's say you see the Imam come, right? You might be sitting down, relaxed, like playing around, you're talking about things. And then when the Imam comes, right? You know, you might be talking about football or things like that. And the Imam comes, oh, you guys, you know, how much is Dhuhr prayer? What's the sunnah after Dhuhr prayer? Right? Yeah. Right? You change the topic when you see somebody pious and righteous, like you change even your posture when you're sitting down. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting down with Abu Bakr and Umar. And when he saw Uthman come, and his actually part of his thighs were showing. He was just sitting down, relaxing, reclining. And then he covered up his thighs and he sat up when Uthman ibn Affan came. And so Aisha was astonished. That why did he do this? Why did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this? He's with who? Abu Bakr and Umar. Who? You know who Abu Bakr and Umar are? We all know who they were. But when Uthman came, he sat up. And then when she asked him, she said, Uthman, you were sitting with Abu Bakr and Umar. And you were just reclining. But then, all of a sudden, when Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu came, you sat up. Why? He said, should I not be bashful and shy from someone whom the angels are shy from? SubhanAllah. The angels are shy from? Do you know why the angels are shy from Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu? Because if you knew who he was, then you would know why. Because he was someone who was greatly respected. And he had shyness. Shyness is something that's very good. Shyness is if you're afraid of saying things that will harm somebody, that will hurt anyone. And you're always conscious of it. You're always conscious of that. And you're afraid, of course, the greatest shyness between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means even when you're alone, that means even Uthman ibn Affan, when he was alone, when nobody is there, even only Allah knows, and then the angels, of course, are all they can see, they're there, they can see that he's the same. In public or private. And one of the characteristics, the attributes of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was that he never hurt anyone with any of his words. Because of his shyness, he did not want to hurt anyone. Because of his character. And that's why shyness is part of Iman. You don't want people to say anything. That's why he never drank himself. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported they never, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also, they never drank wine or alcohol. Even in Jahiliyyah. Why? Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, you know what he said? He said, enough. It is enough. It is enough for me to avoid alcohol. Just seeing what a person may say and not realizing. That shyness that he might say something and doesn't realize it, and then it might be shameful. People are saying, well, how could you say such a thing? But you know, that person might be drunk, right? And so when a person is drunk, because he's afraid of saying anything that might hurt anyone, or that someone might say something bad about him, that you know, some reputation might be applied to him as a result of that. And so that's why part of being shy, and shyness is a part of Iman, is being careful with your words. Making sure you don't hurt anyone. And that's why it's the tongue is something that's it's a miracle in itself. Yeah, the muscles down there and so forth, you make different sounds with it and with the tongue. That in itself is a miracle. And if you just hear the different languages that come, it's such a great miracle. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tongue that you're here to communicate, and you can describe things so vividly by using the words and with this blessing of the tongue. And thus, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a great blessing, we should use it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For any blessing that He has given to us,
If we're thankful to Allah for that blessing, then we have to use it in obedience of Allah. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, you know, some wealth, then if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase it for you, then use that blessing in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how you show thankfulness. And if you're thankful for what you have been given, then Allah increases it for you. Allah always gives more, gives you more. And so, that's why, you know, every morning I look in the mirror and I say, Abdul Bari, you're so handsome. And say, oh yeah, Allah, just as you have perfected my character, also perfect my features. And just as you perfected my features, also perfect my character also. So be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given you. And so when we're thankful for the time that we have, the way that we communicate and how we talk, then you should use that in the obedience of Allah. How can we use it in the obedience of Allah? First of all, by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our tongues. And that's why, remember, one of the deeds, the companions asked about what are some of the major sins. And by the way, what's the difference between a major sin and a minor sin? You know, you always hear, this is a major sin, this is a minor sin. And as Muslims, in truth, we should always not look at the sin, the magnitude of the sin, but look at who you are actually disobeying. The greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not whether the sin is big or small. You should always avoid all sins. But, of course, we know that there are major sins and there are minor sins. Because we know that it's in the adillas and the proofs in the Qur'an and Sunnah. But what are the difference between a major sin and a minor sin? And I said, the beginning, I said, remember those two people? They were committing major sins. But they did not realize that these were major sins. Why? What's the difference between them? Well, a major sin is a sin in which there is a warning of punishment in this life or the hereafter. Or if there's a curse related to that particular act, then that's considered a major sin. So, for example, stealing is a major sin. Why? Because there is a specific punishment for it in Islam in this life. And not protecting yourself against urine is a major sin. When you are, when you go to the toilet or you go to the bathroom, you have to protect yourself. Make sure that the splatter doesn't get on you. You might think, well, but I don't know. You know, if it gets on me or not. How can I be responsible for something that I can't even see? Right? So, am I accountable for that? Yes, you are accountable for it. Even if you don't see the splatter, if you're negligent. If you didn't take the precautionary measures. What's the proof for that? The proof for that is, during the time of the companions, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw some companions who, because they were so tired, remember they were coming from Tabuk, and they were so tired that some of them were, when they made wudu, they were not careful enough. And so he saw some spots on their heels that were not washed during wudu. So he said, وَيْرٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Woe to the heels in the hellfire. Woe to the heels in the hellfire. So this is a warning of punishment. Look, this is a major sin. Remember, anything that there's a warning of punishment in the hereafter, or a specific punishment in this life, is considered a major sin. So he said, woe to the heels in the hellfire. Now those companions, did they know that they had spots on their heels that were not washed? Did they know? They did not know, because if they knew, they would have washed it. Why was there a punishment associated with that? Why? Because of their negligence. So ignorance due to negligence is punishable. So just because you can't use ignorance as a proof if you are negligent. To say, let's say on the Day of Judgment you say, well, ya Allah, I didn't know that was a sin. What did you spend your whole life doing? Did you not know that there were classes and there were people who were speaking about that? at such and such university on that day. Didn't you see the sign? Well, you didn't know that that was a sin because you didn't come. Did you have time? Oh, but I had to, you know, go watch a movie. Right? Well, you know that that day, so that person may have seen it. But they had the opportunity, but they were negligent. So you can't say, okay, I didn't know it, so I'm not going to be, I might as well not know it. It's better not to know, right? Better not to know, because if I know, then I'll be accountable. No, even if you don't know and you're negligent, then you're still, whether you don't know or not, if you don't know, if it's due to your own negligence, you're accountable still. Don't just say, okay, I don't know, and then you don't study anything, you don't learn anything. No, it's mandatory upon us all to study. And so, that's a major sin. And going around speaking about other people, that's a major sin. But sometimes there are things that are harder for a woman than it is for a man, and sometimes there are things that are harder for a man than it is for a woman. It's just natural, right? Like, you know, when it comes to, the Prophet mentioned the hadith, he said, whoever can preserve, take care of, be mindful of two things, then I will guarantee him paradise. What are those two things? He says, whoever can take care of that which is between his jaws, which is his tongue, control his tongue, and between his legs, his private part. If you can control those two things, then inshallah, you have Jannah. Right? But generally, you know, for men, it might, you know, between the two legs might be more difficult, right? For a woman, maybe it's the tongue. Allah knows best. What do you guys think? What do you guys think? Sometimes, you know, when it comes to sisters, usually they're more detailed than it comes when it comes to talking and so forth, things like that. Let me give you an example, okay? There was a brother, okay? He had, you know, his wife, she was always on the phone. If the phone rang, you know that that's at least 30 minutes. She had a problem. It's like, you know, she just loved to talk. Okay, that's it. And so he said, you know, you really have to take care of this problem. This is a big problem. You know, you're wasting all your time on the phone. Yeah. And so she said, oh, you know, I'll try to do better. Okay, really honestly, I'll try to do better. I'll try to, you know, control myself. Just watch next time, inshallah. So, the phone rang. And so she picks up the phone. And she was on the phone for 15 minutes. And so she hangs up. And he looks at his wife and says, I'm proud of you. That's an improvement. Like, I was watching the clock. Normally it's like at least 30 minutes. You know, this is 15 minutes. Alhamdulillah. Right? You know, that's an improvement, right? You might think it's still a lot, right? But then he said, well, anyways, who was that on the other line? Oh, it was the wrong phone number. Also, and you know, it's sometimes, not every sister, okay? Some sisters don't like to talk a lot. You know, they're just very simple. It's straight to the point. But many are like that. But you know, generally, not always the case, you know. Women generally like to talk more than guys because they're a little bit more detail oriented. It's like, you know, for example, in my house, like, I get a phone call, right? And a brother, a very close friend of mine, a very close friend of the family, maybe his wife just gave birth. So if I pick up the phone, okay, this is what happens if I pick the phone, okay? Now, they just had a baby, right? So I'm picking up the phone, oh, mashallah, was it a boy or a girl? Oh boy, mashallah, alhamdulillah, it was a boy. How did you, did you guys just have it right now? Where are you guys, which hospital, for example? Maybe just one or two questions, right? Maximum three questions, alhamdulillah, I'll tell my wife also. You hang up, right? If my wife were to pick up the phone, assalamu alaikum. Yes, was the labor difficult? What does the baby look more like? Your mom, your dad? And then it keeps on going. Did you guys get a name for it already? I mean, I didn't even think about asking what the name was, right? All of a sudden, it's like, it keeps on going. All the details are coming out, right? But when I picked up the phone, I never even thought about it. Right? Sometimes, It's like that. Sometimes it's normally like that. But generally, you know, sometimes for some sisters, it's like that. But sometimes it's for some guys, they like to talk a lot too. So it's not, you know, it's not like always a rule or anything like that. But when you're speaking, when you have to say something, make sure you always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what you're speaking about, try to always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't make the conversation related to only this worldly life. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تُكِيرُ الْكَلَامِ بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Do not speak a lot without the mentioning or the remembering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةُ الْكَلَامِ بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِ قَصْرٌ مِنْ الْقَلْبِ. Because when you speak a lot without the mention, without remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it hardens the heart. It hardens the heart. And he said, وَإِنَّ أَبْعَدَ النَّاسَ عَنِ اللَّهِ الْقَلْبُ الْقَاسِي. And the one who's furthest from Allah is the one who has a heart. So your heart becomes hard. Your heart becomes hard when you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering Allah softens the heart. But you know, there are some people, especially you know, the people of the dunya, when you can speak about anything. You can speak about politics, and they will just keep on going and going. You can speak about football, you can speak about the movies, as soon as you put in deen, why do you have to ruin the conversation? Like right away. Right? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear anything about the deen whatsoever. You know, but if you keep on joining people in those types of conversations and not reminding people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart will continue to be hardened. And you have to understand, the more you speak, the more mistakes you make. The more mistakes you make, the more people will dislike you. And so, and that's why Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, "Man kathara kalamu kathara sakatu." He said, whoever makes, in another narration, khata'ahu, whoever speaks a lot, then he will make, his mistakes will increase. And whoever mistakes increase, then his sins will also be increased. Your sins will also be increased. وَمَنْ كَثَرَ الظُّنُوبُ كَانَ تَنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ. And if you have a lot of sins, then the hellfire is, you're more likely to enter the hellfire. And so that is why you have to control your tongue. Control your tongue. And sometimes, is this difficult, right? It is. For some people it's more difficult than other people. Everybody's tested with different things. There are some people who just, I gotta say it. It's like you're trying to hold back. You know it's wrong. But, you know, it's... Okay, you know what happened to the sister? No. Right? You can't control it because I gotta tell it. Right? Even though you know it's wrong. But it's hard for you. So how do you control yourself? How do you control yourself? First of all, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering how greatness this is. But sometimes, even that's difficult. You know, one of the great scholars of the past, one of the Tabi'in, he said, he had that problem. He had that problem where it would be very difficult for him not to backbite. Right? In his younger days. It was difficult for him not to backbite because he just felt the urge to do so when he saw something. Or somebody did something very funny or very strange, even though it's backbiting, he knows it's backbiting, he just has to tell it to the other people. And so he said, it was difficult for me. And so I had to force myself. And I had to find a way to stop myself. So he said, so I made a pledge or I made a promise that if I were to backbite anyone, then I would give in charity 5 dirhams. Or I think five dirhams. Anytime. And so he said I did that. And so every time I wanted the urge, I knew that it's gonna cost me. And so I stopped myself. Because you know what? The nafs, right? The nafs, it likes something. What is it like? It likes to, sometimes some people it likes to backbite. So that person had that desire to backbite. But that desire also, sometimes, what else is that desire or your nafs likes? What is it like? It likes wealth, right? So he said, you know, I'm going to punish you. If you're going to get this one, I'm going to take something else away that you like. What does everyone like? Money, right? The nafs likes money. So if it's going to cost you to backbite, then you're going to think twice. But don't make it an amount that's very extravagant that you can't afford, or that you're going to say, oh, forget it. I'm not going to pay. Right? No. Otherwise, it won't work. And don't make it such a small amount that it doesn't affect you. Because then you say, okay, who cares? Only like a few pence, right? You know, it's only like maybe half a euro or something like that. That's nothing, you know. I can tell you that. I'm even a college student. I can make it. Right? So don't make it an amount that's not too much, but not too little. But that you feel it. That you feel it. So you're thinking, how much is lunch? Or how much is dinner? And you're going to give that amount. I mean, that's a nice dinner at a restaurant. I'm not just going to throw it away. Give that away. Right? You know, I'm going to keep it. Okay, I'm not going to backbite it. So that's one way that some of the scholars did in order to try to help them control themselves. And so, if you start controlling your tongue, then at the same time, your heart starts to cleanse itself. Because you're going to decrease in the amount of sins that you have. And that's why the Prophet said, لَا يَسْتَقِيمُ إِمَانُ الْعَبْدِ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمُ قَلْبُ. Remember, the person's iman will not be upright until his heart is upright. وَلَا يَسْتَقِيمُ قَلْبُهُ. And his heart will not be upright حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمُ لِسَانُ. And his heart will not be upright until his tongue is upright. So that's why you want to start with controlling your tongue if you want to cleanse your heart. Once you control your tongue, then you'll be able to also cleanse your heart. And every single morning, the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَصْبَحَ ابْنُ آدَمِ فَإِنَّ الْأَعْضَاءَ كُلَّهَا تُكَفِرْ لِسَانِ. He said, every single morning, the limbs of the children of Adam, they scold the tongue. And so they say, ittaqillah fina. Fear Allah concerning us. Because we are going to face the consequences of you, the tongue. فَإِنْ إِسْتَقَمْتَ إِسْتَقَمْ. If you're upright, then we will also be upright. And if you're not upright, also we will not be upright. And so that's a result of the tongue. And believe it or not, sometimes, the society that we're living in right now, we have so many time-saving gadgets, right? You have the microwave, you have your cell phones, laptops, iPads, all kinds of gadgets that are supposed to save us time, right? The only thing we don't have is time. Right? The only thing we don't have is time. It's like there are so many things that we have at our fingertips. Like if you need to know something, all you do is ask at Google. I mean, that's it. Right away. You know, come up, everything, the information comes right away. But we don't have time. You know, one of the best, the time-saving advices is from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, it's always there. But also, the hadith, the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are also very, very precise and concise with full a lot of meanings. It's very clear, but it has a lot of meaning, and it's very, very powerful. And they said, and so this, remember, this one will help us to save time here. If you're thinking, you got a lot of stuff to do and you don't have enough time, I want you to just think about this hadith all the time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Min husn al-Islam al-mar' tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." Amongst part of the excellence of the Islam of a person is him abandoning and leaving that which does not concern him. So, before you do anything, before you read this or read that, or do this and do that, talk about this or talk about that, I want you to think and say, does that pertain to me? Is that going to benefit me? Or is it just somebody else? Because there are people right now, there are so many people, so many times we waste so much time. You know, like the internet is very beneficial. But as soon as it becomes more of a distraction than a benefit, then maybe you should look for other means to try to quench your thirst for knowledge. Because now it's going to distract you even more. It's going to take more of your time. If you feel, or you have to control some, because you know when you have a book, that's all you have, right? But when you're reading off the internet, right, next thing you know, you hit a link, and all of a sudden, you don't know how you got there. You're in the corner of the world. Wow, how did I get there? I was looking for something else. And you look at your, oh, it's been 2 hours. Right? And you didn't get what you were looking for, but you ended up reading so many other things. Right? And so sometimes the internet is very beneficial. It's very beneficial, yes. But sometimes, when you're living in information,